If you can kneel, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day. Thank you for answered prayer all throughout the week and keeping that strong hedge of angels around us and helping us to get used to these trials and these tribulations, these persecutions, these attacks, and especially when it comes from people we love. Thank you for helping us to grow strong there, because without strength in that area, we're not going to be able to stand under the latter rain. And so thank you for blessing us with everything we need to get ready for that rain, and for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us and healing us physically and spiritually. Thank you so much, Father, for all the things that you're doing. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, and all the prayers that are being mentioned here in the room. We love you, Father, and we thank you for teaching us how to love you. And we offer this prayer out to you always, from the deepest depths of our heart, in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, special announcement here. For those of you listening on WTPR, if you're coming in from the WTPR page, just hit an F5 on your keyboard, or if you're using a cell phone, hit the little refresh icon, you know, that little spinning arrow. Hit that, and you'll see there's a new text chat button to click. Forgot to mention that. And for those of you, brothers that are, you know, when we had, we were talking about this type of chat room before, I did find where the issue was with the pruning of the text chat. It's fixed. So, and you know, so it's open. But you know, here's the thing: when you register for this chat room, right now I'm not locking it down to where you know I have to approve you. So, but I will eventually do that, and I got to set things up on my end to make it easier. But when you register and you put in your username and then your email address and hit enter, it will probably send you an email, but you don't have to verify the email yet. when you go to enter into the room, into the text chat, you'll notice it keeps on acting like it's loading. Just ignore that and hit F5 again. You know, I don't know why that's a bug. It worked. That bug is there in three different browsers, and so just hit the refresh on your cell phone or hit the F5 on your keyboard, and then boom, you'll be in the it's a chat, text chat right now, and it does have audio capabilities, but not the way we need it. And so, but I did turn the audio section off. So for those of you on WTPR, I'm in that text chat as well as WTPR, but that's, you know, I'm not going to be talking in that text chat. you know, unless, of course, well, I mean, if a troll comes in, then I'll just, you know, shut the server down, because it's on its own. It's on a different server. And the link to the chat room is, if you want to go in there as a moderator too, I could set some of you guys up as mods. I'm definitely going to be doing that. And I'm thinking, or I'm contemplating making the chat room to where it's only on when we're live. You know, but just go to the WTPR page on remnantofgod.org. You know, like go to the Remnant of God, and then right there in the middle, it's underneath that pop-up that says Sabbath Blessings, join us. You know, click the little arrow on the, or the X on the bottom right of that pop-up to get it out of the way. And otherwise, if you click that pop-up, it'll just bring you back to this chat room. And but behind it, you got Listen Live or WTPR Live or something like that. You click that, and it'll bring you to the WTPR page, and then depending upon what type of connection you have online and what kind of browser, anywhere from 5 to 10 or 15 seconds, you'll hear me talking. And but then right underneath the player, or above it, I can't remember where I put it, it shows a link to where you can read along on Friday night, where you can read along today on Sabbath day when you, you know, you just, I just say scroll underneath this particular chat room so you can see the sermon notes. And then under that, it's a new chat text link, or, you know, a chat text room or text chat. Oh, there, see, Letitia's in there now. She just came in. And so, yeah. So obviously it works, but I don't know why that bug is there. I found a couple other bugs in it, but they're not issue. And it's not Flash-based in any way, shape, or form. No, we don't have a new Flash. We do not have a new chat room per se, if you will. This is a new chat room. And the only reason I mention this on Sabbath day, because it may offend some people that I'm talking about this on Sabbath day during a church service, but 99.9% of the time, we as Seventh-day Remnant believers meet online. And so, and this is the only time everybody comes together to where I can announce these kind of things. And so, you know, I don't see any sin there. At least the Lord hasn't revealed any sin to me in that respect. And so, but yeah, we do have, I am looking at a new, it's a corporate PBX kind of a system where I'm going to try to kill the PBX portion so that nobody makes long distance phone calls. The chat room itself does have, it's similar to YouTube, the way it works, with a dinky little chat room on the side, but then you got this big screen in the middle where I could do everything from showing you my desktop to showing you a video or sermon notes. And so it's really nice, but it could be a little bit difficult for people that are just starting off on computers on how to get into it. But this chat room that's on, Samuel Murray just came in there too on WTPR. That one is easy to get into. If I figure out how to do the audio on it, which it can be done, we might just use that one. But the other one has a 25 user limit for, and it's nothing I'm looking at is Flash based anymore. No, we're going to go either WebRTC or Java, or, you know, stuff like that. And so anyway, why don't we pick it up where we left off last week? Because we were doing study series about a closer walk with Jesus, and we're in that area now wherein we're talking about heaven and what it's going to be like when we get there, and just to kind of like refresh what we were talking about last week, we're all going to see Jesus Christ when we get there, obviously. Could you imagine having Bible studies with him? You know? I can't wait, you know, just to sit at his feet when he's just sharing truth, just sharing with us, like he did on the Sermon on the Mount or whenever he hung out with the apostles, just going around hanging out with them. Boy, can you imagine the Sabbaths there? I mean, it's going to take me probably centuries to the point where I'm going to want to leave the city and go check out those other worlds and stuff, but just being in his presence and, you know, hanging out with all the angels and stuff. And, oh, man. But some of the, you know, the amazing things that the Bible does say that we're going to be doing is amazing. I mean, even though the Bible's, oh, look at that, it's doing again. It's showing that the we lost the connection on the stream, but it's probably just a video crash again like last night. It happened twice. Okay, yeah, it's back. So, but yeah, just meeting with Jesus, you know, while we're in heaven for eternity. I mean, think about it. You're there for trillions and trillions of years, and it's like day one. It's still. It doesn't get old. You don't get bored at any given moment. And it's never ending. I mean, there's no more death, no more pain, tears, sorrow, sickness. There's the word hospital is going to be completely forgotten. No more, you know, surgeries. That too is going to be a forgotten word, I would think. No more tragedies, no disappointments, no trouble of any kind, no hunger, or even something as trivial as thirst. I mean, think about it. I mean, we won't even get tired, let alone bored. Because I could imagine, you know, I was reading, I think in Spirit of Prophecy in regards to, this was a study I did years ago in regards to how, like, we won't get tired to the point we can run for miles without getting winded, hold our breath for hours underwater, You know, I mean, because it's just going to be perfect. I mean, the deaf are going to hear, the blind are going to see, the dumb are going to sing, the lame are going to run and fly like everything else, you know. And we're not going to have jealousy, fear, hatred, falsehoods of any time. You know, there's no lying. I mean, that's what started the problems in heaven, if you think about it. Satan lied to himself first with the pride thing, and then he got a third of heaven to believe a lie. And then when he was cast to the earth and he ended up in that tree, he's not going to, he's never going to show up like himself. So he shows up like a serpent, which had arms and legs at the time. And science even proved that. When I was a teenager, I remember reading about how a serpent, not a snake, but a serpent, because serpents are a lot bigger, there's bumps on their vertebrae, because that's all they are, is a giant vertebrae, but there's some knobs or a bump in the front and the back where legs and arms used to be. And I can't remember exactly which serpent it was, and if you know it, great. the thing that... there's no more lying. So I mean, that to me is the most invasive thing in our society, is someone that you trust lies to you. It's like being burglarized. And the bodies, our bodies will be absolutely perfect. No hatred, no racism, cynicism, no filth, no lust, because we already overcame all that. Otherwise, we're not going to be allowed there. No drinking, no bearing false witness, no nitpicking, no insulting people. Because, I mean, do a study on that in regards to, a lot of people get certain issues in their lives and they don't understand why, but it's partially because of diet as well as lifestyle. For example, the nitpicking thing or the finger-pointing thing or always looking for a problem with somebody, because we're all students of Scripture. So not myself included, none of us are perfect. We're working there. And so, if someone messes up here or there, there's no reason to come up and keep pointing it out. But some people, that's what they live for, and they keep doing that even as believing they're Christians. And so, the gossip thing even, too, it talks about the losing of the teeth thing, the finger-pointing and all that hatred and the insulting thing without even, realizing what they're doing half the time because they're so used to doing it. Doctors call it arthritis, but it could also be that thing with the drying up of the bones thing. The brittleness, too, of the bones. So it goes, there's a lot of reasons for certain situations in people's lives, and a large portion of the time it has to do with sin. And the nice thing here is when we're in heaven, there's not even going to be a curse on mankind anymore. No more violence of any kind. No floods, no tornadoes, that kind of stuff. No hurricanes. And by the way, keep Brother Dwayne and Brother Scott and his family, their families, in prayer. Dwayne told me earlier that there's another hurricane headed to the Gulf, and so I don't know if it's going to hit Dwayne's area or Scott's area, and so just keep our brothers and our sisters in prayer, because another one's headed there. But like we saw last time, it just moved away, like we've seen it happen to so many tornadoes. But the thing, one of the things, second only to meeting Christ and hanging out with him and the patriarchs and the prophets of old, oh man, just walking down a road talking with Sister White, could you imagine? Or Jeremiah? the children that died young at birth, or even miscarriages, let's say, they get to grow up in heaven. So, okay, for now. Yeah, all right, that's good. Well, that's not good. It's bad. the cone of the hurricane appears to be going to hit the Louisiana shore, so... But that's those predictions, because these things are slow moving when it comes to, it's not like a tornado. It could easily shift its track just by some warm water or a jet stream moving into the area. And so, but another thing here is we're going to have our own mansion up. See, this is what gets me down here. A lot of people ask, why do you, even when I first found a Christ and started reading the scriptures and left the Catholic Church, some of my siblings were saying, why do you live like this? You have all these talents. Why don't you do this and do that? You'd have a career here, a career there. This is why, man. I'm just a pilgrim visiting. I mean, if I already had the career, I understand, you know, blooming where you're planted. And so you continue on there because the Lord would have you minister unto those people around you. Like if you're a bricklayer, keep bricklaying until the Lord tells you otherwise, you know, until he tells you to quit your job like he told me. I don't understand the mansions and stuff down here. I mean, if you have that kind of money, you can get a nice house. You don't have to get a crazy, I mean, come on. Some people's houses are so big, you yell for your wife on the other side of the house. She has to hear for you in the third or fourth echo to get to you, you know? And so that's just ridiculous. It's a big old waste of space. I mean, ask my wife. If I had a house as big as, if you saw my office, I got a U-shaped desk that I built out of just OSB, you know, plywood. And everything's within reach. I mean, anything other than that, it's just a big old waste of space. I mean, I need space to walk around it, of course, to get out of the room. But we're going to have a mansion, a literal mansion in heaven, what we would consider a mansion. And mine would, of course, have a lot to do with, natural stuff, you know, like a beautiful log cabin or something like that. But the logs are alive. I can't even see killing a tree, you know. But here, another thing, too. Living, you know, in the city for centuries, well, for eternity, actually, but, you know, you go out and take off and do what you get, you know, want to do during the week. But every Sabbath day, we're in there to fellowship. Well, after we listen to a sermon from Christ, or maybe the patriarchs and prophets will preach. Who knows, you know? But can you imagine the fellowship, though, with Jesus himself as well as those prophets? I mean, not to mention the people used of God all throughout time that were never even mentioned in the Bible. And along with all that, we'll be with our saved loved ones each and every day, including Sabbath. You know, the loved ones we had on earth, because when we get to heaven, yeah, that's just one big family. It's just, you know, everybody's family. And that wouldn't be hard to get used to. Let's say a trillion years later. Yeah, still family, especially now. It's a trillion years. Think about that. Great, great, great grandparents, or just your grandparents. See, I never met either one of my grandpas, either one of them. I don't think my mom's dad's going to be there, because the Bible says no drunkards are allowed in heaven. And what is it, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10? And then, of course, in Scripture, Revelation. Because that's what killed him. He drank himself to death. But my dad's dad, you know, I might see him. I don't know how he walked and stuff like that, but he was murdered. He was at the end of World War II. And some rebel Nazi came up from behind while he was sleeping in a bombed-out building and just went to town on his back with a bayonet. So that's what killed him. But whether or not he was headed home or not, I don't know. Hopefully, I'll meet him. But think about that, meeting everybody that's, you know, part of your family that died. All of them are going to be very much alive in the prime of life, never to be separated from anybody they love for all eternity. And in each and every week, we look forward to the Sabbath day as the highlight of the week in heaven, every week in heaven. I mean, nothing on earth will ever be able to compare to such worship and fellowship as this. And for those of you that miss the fellowship, you know, after leaving the apostate churches, don't let Satan tempt you back into those fallen churches because you miss your... I mean, seriously, I don't know how many emails or phone calls I've gotten from people that I would say 50% of the time actually go back into the Seventh-day Adventist church. And I saw, like with my siblings, I'm one of 11 kids, and I've seen quite a few of my siblings leave the Catholic church only to be lured right back in because of their, you know, the love they had for their siblings. I mean, I love my siblings too, but I love Jesus more. And so that's the problem. But here's the thing. If you crave that fellowship, don't let Satan tempt you back in there. Just wait a little while longer, and we're all going to be fellowshipping together in heaven for all eternity, and never will you have to leave such a church due to apostate leaders or preachers or even brethren that are off the path. I mean, everyone in heaven is there because they overcame. It's just amazing. I mean, it's the true meaning of life. Because down here, this isn't the true meaning of life with all the trials and tribulations and the disease and the death. And yeah, it's just the testing grounds is all it is for all the ambassadors for Christ. And in no other planet in the universe is it done that way. That's why Satan was only cast on this planet, to really allow for, you know, the testing, if you will. But think about the trees, though. You know, like Devil's Tower. Where is that, in Utah? I don't even remember where that's at. Because I'm thinking the flat area, Utah, you know, because it's pretty flat. But that's a tree stump. Okay, some eyebrows probably flew up off your foreheads and stuff like that, but there's hundreds of those tree stumps all over the planet. The one in Utah was only made popular because of that movie in the 70s or 80s or something like that, but that's a tree stump. And it's proven to be. I actually put a link on the website and one of the blogs in regards to how it's structured and everything, just like a tree stump with the cellular structure on the inside. And it's a stump, which means it was cut down. It was a big tree, you know. The stump was the size of a city. And so, but I can't wait to see the trees, the flowers, and even the grass that never fades. Down here, I mean, it's constant. We're having our droughts and our dry areas during, like right now. Half the lawn is green, the other half is brown. At least this year, we didn't get the crunchy lawn. But last year, what was it, 3 or 4 months, we didn't have to cut the grass? It just got crunchy. It was like you're walking on dead grass, crunchy hay. But it's amazing after a rain how quickly it goes green. The stuff comes up from below. So I can't wait to see what it looks like without worrying about mowing it every 5 or 6 days, I'll tell you that. I mean, the beauty is nothing, this kind of beauty is nothing, it can't be explained this side of eternity. Even the animals are going to be perfect. And we're going to be able to study them whenever we want to so as to better understand how they were created and why. Because he doesn't create, you know, like each and every one of us, we're all created for a purpose. There's things I can do that you can't do, and there's things you can do that I couldn't even contemplate doing. We all have a reason for being here. You know, and even from the insect to the massive thunder lizard that walked the earth before the flood. And yes, he was called the thunder lizard, at least that's what they call him today, because they only found out about dinosaurs, what, the 1920s or 30s or something like that? But he was called a thunder lizard because every step he took was like a thunder for the smaller creatures, including mankind. Because of you think about it, like lizards and like iguanas and stuff like that, they grow until the day they die. But our atmosphere isn't where it should be to allow for them to have a longer life. So if they're going to live to be 1,000 years old, let's say, before the flood of Noah, yeah, you're going to get some thunder lizards because they just don't stop growing. So anyway, not only are all the plants and the animals perfect, we too are going to be perfect in glorified bodies that never grow old or weary, which have eternal youth and vigor for all eternity. You know, I must say, all the aches and pains I've seen come to reality as I get older are some of the things I cannot wait to leave behind. You know, including even wearing glasses. I mean, in fact, all that Adam lost will be eternally restored according to the promises of the Lord. And again, like I stated last week, for those of you that want all the proof in regards to what I'm saying, just go to my heaven page on my website. It's remnantofgod.org/heaven.htm. And every verse everything I said last week and everything I'm saying this week is all backed up in Scripture, even though still, with all that, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it even contemplated in the hearts of man what God's got in store for those who love Him. And I probably massacred that verse, but that's the gist of it. And by the way, getting back to all the animals, this thing I think is the most amazing, because even as a little kid when I used to crawl around on those prairies talking to God and looking for little bugs and things, laughing out loud when I found that caterpillar. I still remember that to this day. When I found that caterpillar with the yellow, the green, and the blue, and the spines and stuff, I mean, I'm walking around looking for newts and salamanders and stuff, because you ain't going to get lizards out in this neck of the woods, but you'll get the little slimy guys. And so I'm looking around, and I came across that caterpillar, and I just started laughing out loud. I couldn't have been more than 10 years old. I was laughing because how did you make that is what I was thinking when I was talking to God. This is, but think about this. Just looking for the little buggers down here. You know, you can't even contemplate how many animals, fish, birds, or even insects are extinct on planet Earth. But they're all going to be there when we get home, on every planet that we visit, including this one, when it gets recreated. And on top of all this, all the treasures of the universe are going to be at our hands. We'll be able to travel to the many worlds, as Paul talks about in the Bible, and or even what the Spirit of Prophecy talks about when it was revealed in a vision that Enoch was visiting some other planet, training a vine, a grapevine. It was one of the places he hung out, and he had a grapevine there. Think about that. No money, no jobs, you know. Build your own home if you want. No one else is going to inhabit it because you made it for yourself in the way you wanted it. Train a vine because it's yours. You're not training a vine because you need to get to market. And again, we'll be able to visit with and share Jesus with all the unfallen people in the trillions of worlds, because trillions of galaxies, let's put it that way, which have trillions of worlds in each of them. In other words, we're not going to be bored. How could you be? There's always something to do, always someone to meet, every second of the day for all eternity. And he's not going to stop creating, because he's a creator, right? There's no brick wall at the end of the universe. That's what I used to think when I was a little kid. There's got to be somewhere where it stops. And so now do you see why you're never going to be bored? We'll be meeting new friends and loved ones each and every day for all eternity. And again, see my heaven page for all the verses that back all this up. I even have some Spirit of Prophecy to share about all this as well on that page, because I found out about Sister White, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years or 5 years, let's say, when I started doing the audio conferences. Somebody brought her up to me and said I should read her writings, and I never did because, well, I got the Bible. That's where I started, and that's where I wanted to stay. And then I found in her writings that if you study your Bible properly, you won't need her books. But I like going into them because she, you know, confirms a lot of the things that the Lord reveals to you in those deep, meaty areas of the Bible. And it's a blessing to the heart to realize that, yeah, the Holy Spirit definitely revealed that to me, because, look, this is a prophet or a prophetess. And she said what the Lord already revealed years ago, let's say, you know. But still, somebody sent me the DVD when it was in its beginning stages, and this woman spent, I think it was like $1,000, or she said $1,000. Somebody told me, I think Brother Lewis told me recently, that it was like $600 or $700 or $800 at that time. But I never looked at it. Like 2 or 3 or 4 years later, I checked it out, and then I started seeing some things that just shocked my socks off. But then I also saw some strange things. I didn't find out why those things were strange up until the time that we found out that they edited her writings. And so that's why we promote the books, the original books that you're going to find at vbates.com. That's the only place on the planet that I know of that actually have the original writings, you know. And so with all that said, how can any atheist look at the gift of salvation in a lesser light, when the very same Bible that speaks of the gift of salvation also speaks of all that we're going to be doing there when we get there? And still, with all that being shared in the Bible about eternity, it's still just the tip of the iceberg because of the verse I shared at the start of this study, which was, of course, 1 Corinthians 2:9. You know, eye is that, but as it was written, well, here, I got it right here. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So there you go. I didn't paraphrase it there. And so, how do we gain eternal life? 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And how many people are invited to heaven? This shocked the atheists too, because we have more than a few now, atheists that have joined the Seventh-day Remnant movement, because we don't preach like the preacher-tainers and we don't teach churchianity. They realize that we can answer their questions. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the spirits and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come." Because you heard it, so go and tell people. That's, in other words, let him that heareth say, Come. So go tell them, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So everybody, every person on earth, no matter their nationality, their race, their creed, none of them are left out. All can accept the gift of eternal life. And all they need to do to gain it is to accept Jesus as their Savior, because the opposite of eternal life is eternal death. So you've got to be saved from that death. That's why everybody keeps calling Jesus a Savior, because that's what he came to do. When Satan did what he did in Eden, he destroyed, as far as he could see, humanity to the point where every human is from that day forward, when he conned Eve to bite the apple, and then she, or well, fruit, whatever it was, everybody says apple, but he conned her into eating that fruit and then handing it to her husband. From that day forward, they contracted a fatal disease, which we call aging. Because that was not normal in the Garden of Eden. You just weren't going to die. It was an eternal land. And so now we need a Savior to prevent that death. And that's what Jesus did. That's why he came out of that grave 3 days later. He defeated death. But if you don't believe that, well, then you're going to have to die. Because the only way to get eternal life is to believe what he did. I mean, 2 Corinthians 13 5 says, we need to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? In other words, take stock in yourself. I remember that when I was baby Christian, you know, because I had already, you know, stopped crawling around in the, I mean, I still love going for walks in prairies and in the woods. You know, ever since I've been doing that since I was a kid. But I got to my teen years, you know, and kind of like, even though I stayed what I called religious, you know, I was an idiot. I got into all sorts of crazy stuff. And but then when I came back to the Lord, or found him as a proper Savior, because I didn't quite accept him as such, even though I did tell people, everyone I met, that I was a Christian. I didn't understand Christianity, if you will. And so I had to sit down one day. I remember doing this in it was a forest, but there was a wide open area in the middle of this, like this thing I was walking through. And I sat down and said, do I really believe this stuff? And one of the first things that came to mind was, look where you're sitting. And when you sit for 15, 20 minutes without moving a muscle, ground squirrels are going to be the first they're going to come out. You know, and then you'll see the raccoons and the occasional skunk. He's usually pretty, he's more or less going to move around at night, but they will come out during the day. Well, in my neck of the woods, like I'm in the farmland, you'll see a skunk during the day because you don't see them in the cities. They'll hide out and stuff like that because they're afraid of man. But out here, they'll just wander, figuring, hey, I ain't seen a man in days. And all of a sudden, they'll come across your land and says, oh, hey, there's one. And so we've had them visit on occasion. And they're friendly, you know. They'll warn you in advance. I remember when we were living outside of a little town in Illinois, there was this little hutch kind of building that had little holes in the floorboards because it was over 100 years old. And the kids made it into a fort. And skunks were living underneath it, a mother and her children. And everybody could see them. You could see them down there moving around. And they didn't spray our kids, and our kids didn't get, you know, the kids knew that if you saw them outside from underneath there, because the skunks, they felt safe under there. They figured, oh, we can't get to them. So they weren't even going to try to spray. They're like cats with an attitude, with an ability to, you know, whatever. And so I ask, anyway, getting back, how do we truly, truly have Jesus Christ in us where an eternal life is assured? Jesus said this in John 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So don't let Satan try to think you know, and see, it's kind of, don't let it go as idiotic as I did when I was a teenager, I always used to say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, and that's all I got to do is believe in Jesus, and I got heaven tapped. But what is it, James 2:19, I think? The devils believe and tremble. When I found that out, as I started studying Scripture, because I wanted to shut up a bunch of Baptists that kept telling me I was going to hell because I was a Catholic, and I figured, well, I can read a Bible, I'll shut you up, and then boom, 18 months later, I was a Baptist. You know, well, I never actually officially became one. I just went to Baptist churches, my wife and I. And so to believe in Jesus means to believe all that he is written is for the good of those that believe it. You can't just say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and then strike up a, you know, cigarette or crack open a beer. I mean, it's truly a gift for... because, just think about it. No man can build a stairway to heaven. You can't. It can't be done. It's a gift. It's the only way. There's nothing we can give God that... he needs so that he could say, okay, you can get to, you go to heaven. Accept obedience. That's it. You know, like you hear the stories, you know, like say, because some people still celebrate birthdays or whatever, to say, you know, how do you give a gift to someone who's got everything? Well, the same holds true for our Heavenly Father. You just can't give him anything but a smile. You can give him a smile on his own face. And how do you do that? You obey him. I mean, the only way to get there is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, our God. He calls him a God as well. The Father calls him a God. The Father first calls himself a God, then he calls Jesus Christ a God. It's in Hebrews somewhere. I think it's in chapter 4 maybe. But the only way to get there is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, who was promised to come and save us from Satan's wrath in over 300 prophecies. And he was to come at the exact time he was supposed to come 2,000 years ago, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And so, and this is for everybody. It's for the people that love him with all their hearts, even the people that hate Christ. Because they, you never know, they might be a thief on the cross kind of person. And this is how it's been since the days of Abel, when Cain killed his own brother. Cain, the firstborn child of Adam and Eve, killed his little brother. And so after studying up the sanctuary, the last 2 years together as brothers and sisters, I would think that all of us know exactly why that sanctuary was built and why John said what he did when he saw Jesus walking near him that day 2,000 years ago. John the Baptist, that is. He said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's why I believe to this day a little lamb was killed in Eden to give the clothing unto Adam and Eve. It's fitting. Prophetically fitting. And right after Jesus did all he prophesied he would do for us 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross. And then, to defeat death, to give us eternal life, he came out of the grave and then ascended onto the clouds to go where we're going to be living. And he did that as the apostles were looking on. But not only did that bolster their faith even more so as they saw him ascending, the Lord allowed for the clouds to cover his entrance into the city. Because had he let them see the grandeur of the city and the welcome home party, if you want to call it that, yeah, they would have had their eyes on the wrong prize. It's obedience unto Christ and what his truth, his ministry, his 3.5-year ministry, the greatest teacher that ever walked this planet, all that he taught them is where they had a focus. Because that will allow us to emulate Christ, especially in these last days when the prophesied Gideon band get to a position where they can emulate Christ and literally be partakers of the divine nature. You know, Moses, his face glowed. If we're part of that number, our entire body's going to be glowing. That's, of course, when the people drop at our feet and start to worship us, right as plague number 7's beginning. And according to the spirit of prophecy, those people that drop to worship us are Seventh-day Adventists that refuse to obey the Lord when he said to come out of the church if you see apostasy in it. And so, he died on that cross, he arose from the grave, and then he ascended onto the clouds as the apostles looked on. It was then an angel appeared to them and said this in Acts 1, verse 11. Oh, thank you, Eli. Eli put the it's in Hebrews. I thought it was chapter 4. It's chapter 1. I'll read that in a second. But Acts 1, verse 11 says, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And so, my brothers and sisters, study his word. Pray every day so as to keep your eyes on the coming of the Lord. And for those of you that don't believe that the Father called himself a God and then called his own Son a God, proving those people that say Jesus isn't God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, proving that they are preaching Trinitarian lies of Rome by saying there's only one God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever." Wait, no, it just jumped up. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." But now look at verse 9. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." How do they get around that one? Well, probably in the same way they get around, what is it, 1 John 5:7? Where they say, oh, just rip that verse out of the Bible, shouldn't be there. Because it actually mentions three separate gods, just like at the baptism of Christ. Jesus was on the planet, the Holy Spirit was floating above him, and the Father was speaking from heaven. 1 John 5:7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." In other words, in agreement. And see, that's how the one thing came about with Rome. So if their one theology is true, then Christ also said that me and my wife are one. So there's only one human in this house with two heads sticking out of it? Or there's only one God with three heads sticking out of it? No, that's not what the Bible says. But that's what the people believe. Because it's the last of days. They're believing the wolves instead of believing the one who wrote that book. Hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.